All right, we're in Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be reading verses 15 to 17 today. Philippians 3, starting in verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now, I'm going to stop there. He goes on and talks about what that is, but we'll look at that next week. But I want to stop there and we'll see what he has for us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can look into it and we can study it. And Father, we can see Paul's heart here. Because as we discern his heart, we can take that same passion into our heart. Because Father, you gave him that. You gave him a passion for sharing your truth and for leading that way. Father, I pray that we would catch this heart. We would catch this passion. We would catch this urgency, Father. Thank you so much for how you've worked in the life of Paul and taking him out of a legalistic system where he thought he was perfect to where he found out he wasn't. And then, Lord God, that he can now teach us. Years ago he lived, and now he's teaching us. But Father, what's happening is that you are teaching us through his writings. We thank you that you superintended in all of Scripture, that you are the one who has given us truth. We love you. It's in Christ's name. Amen. In Philippians, we know that Paul is the writer. And like I said in the prayer, Paul was a really nasty guy. But he thought he was a really great guy. Because he was serving God in the only way he understood how. But he is now a Christian. He was brought to the truth by Christ, and he is writing about joy. He is writing to this church who is a poor church and yet experiencing problems, but they were struggling. And so he was writing, giving them the theme of joy. He was thankful for them. He was very confident in what God was doing through them. Not in them as much as what God is doing. He assures them of his love and is praying for them that their love might grow and abound. But then he gives them some admonitions. And the biggest one is to have a mindset like Christ. Although he was deity and humanity, he was humble. And that humble mindset is what he is striving to show them. And he gives them examples of it with his own life and with Timothy and with Epaphroditus, so we can see that it can work in people. But then he goes on in chapter 3, he says, beware of the Judaizers. Beware of these guys that want to lead you in a different direction. Beware. Watch for them. Watch out. The Judaizers were saying, look, if you just it's okay to have Christ, but you need to follow these aspects of the law so you can be good enough. So you can be good enough for God. And we have a tendency to want to do that. I mean, any of us have a tendency to want to do it. Because if we can just go to church every Sunday, if we can just give enough money, if we can just dress right, look right, act right, talk right, then maybe we can be good enough for God. Maybe God won't punish us. All right? God has already put our punishment onto Christ. It's a done deal. And he wants us to recognize this. He wants us to see it. But the Judaizers are saying, look, you still need to do this. And there were several of them that were falling for it. In fact, we'll see that today. But he says, Paul says, look, if you want to look at outward advantages, I got all of these. And I'm counting them as loss. I'm counting them as rubbish for the sake of counting Christ as mine. So Christ's righteousness is better than self-righteousness. We learned about that. And growing in Christ's likeness, we looked at that as the growth aspect. Longing for the rapture, we saw that. Paul still can grow. We looked at that he says in verse 12, he says, Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. Now, we'll talk about that, but he can still grow. He's not fully perfected in his practical service, or in a practical sense. He's not with Christ right now when he wrote this, as far as being raptured. But he says, I press on. I grab hold of what God grabbed hold of me for. I make it mine. Grab hold of it, make it mine, the purpose for which God grabbed hold of me, which we understood to be Christ's likeness, to be growing in Christ. He's living for that upward call in Christ. And all of this, if you look at the end of verse 14, is in Christ. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. So what we're going to look at today is living out Christ, the mindset that is still humility, mindset still being humility, but lived out, okay? So we get to verse 15, and he says, let us therefore, so when you say, whenever you see a therefore, you always look back and see what it's there for, all right? That's the main, one of the main things, and we know that in verse 10, we saw Paul's passion of growth and becomes our passion of growth in verse 10, growth towards Christ-likeness. And then in verse 11, we saw the passion of heaven, passion of the rapture, wanting to be there. It's not not being fully perfected in our life, in the practice of our life, which is humility, trusting the perfection of Christ towards ourselves, striving, working, pressing on, to own what God owns us for, Christ-likeness, the aspect of Christ-likeness found in Romans chapter 8, conforming to Christ, growing all of our lives, not living in the past. We looked at that last week. Learning from the past, but not living in the past. Because when you live in the past, you either live in regret or in pride, one of the two. Living for Christ, knowing that our prize is God's calling. So with that background, look what he says. Therefore, let us, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. Let us, as many as are perfect. Now, it says here, as many as are perfect. Well, in this verse, the word perfect is not a verb. It's a noun. All right? And it's different from, it's the same word, but it's in a different sense than in verse 12, because he says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect. So here he says, as many as us as are perfect, and back there, not that I've already become perfect. So we look at that and say, well, there's a problem here, right? There's a contradiction. Well, no, what he's doing is contradicting the Judaizers who said you could become perfect here on earth. In fact, you had to be good enough for God. To be good enough for God. Now we look at this and say, well, now wait a second. Because when we are saved, God makes us holy, right? He makes us perfect in a sense. Because Christ became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So when you are saved, you take on Christ's account, and he takes on yours. He took on my account on the cross, my sinful account. I take on his righteousness account. So in my position, in who I am, in my identity, I am perfect before God because I am in Christ and Christ is in me. Okay? And so that's one aspect of this, but I don't believe that's the main aspect of this because he compares it. Look how he compares it in verse 15. He says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal it that to you also. All right, so it's those who are perfect, but if you have something different, that's going to... So in other words, he's comparing Christian with Christian. So yes, it's the aspect that we have perfection in Christ. But yet back in verse 12, in a practical sense, we are not fully accomplished and Christ-like at this point. Because we still deal with sin. We still deal with issues. We still deal with trust. So the aspect he's talking about in verse 15, you can actually translate the word mature. In fact, some of your translations have that. Mature or grown up. And here he's speaking of our identity, but he's talking about growing in Christ. Mature, or the grown in the thought process. All right? Hebrews chapter 5, I believe, talks about the same thing. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, and chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature." Right? So we're talking about infant, we're talking about mature. We're talking both of them are Christians. Who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. So that's an aspect where we can see that he's talking about growing up in Christ, maturing. So that you can translate that word in that way. Paul was not perfect in verse 12. He was not perfect in his action or perfect in his Christ-likeness. And he's actually playing on the words. This is actually a subtle rebuke towards the Judaizers. He's playing on the same words the Judaizers would have used. Hey, you've got to be perfect before God, because look at logical. It's logical. God's perfect. You have to be perfect before you can be acceptable to God. Which is true. And that's why he credits us with righteousness. Remember in Romans 4, where Abraham was credited? He believed God, and he was credited for righteousness. He was declared righteous. That's what God does with us. He declares us to be righteous. And if God says we're righteous, guess what? We are righteous. We have an identity in Christ of holiness and righteousness. Can we grow in that? In our practical sense, absolutely. Absolutely. And Paul even proves that, as he did the last several weeks we looked at. But here Paul was seeking to get this past them. He says, let us who are perfect, what? Have this attitude. Have this attitude. What attitude? Well, the word attitude is actually the same word as in chapter 2, verse 5. Have this mindset that was in Christ Jesus. He says, let us who are mature, let us who have grown in grace, grown in truth, have this mindset. Have this same mindset. What mindset is he talking about? Well, it's what a humble mindset leads to. It's how following Christ will be lived out as a mindset. And in fact, look what he says. Because he's subtly rebuking them. Look at it. He says, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. If in anything. The word if there is a first class condition in the original language. It means since. So apparently Epaphroditus had told Paul that, you know what, there are some people following these Judaizers. There's some people striving to keep this law so that they can be good enough for God. And Paul here is concerned. And he says, well, since some of you have a different attitude here, guess what? God will reveal that also to you. Since some of you have a different attitude, some of them wanted to be perfect. Wanted to have that perfection. They were following the Judaizers. Now, why would they want to do that? Well, number one, so that they could think they deserved salvation. Because I'm being as good as I can. I'm doing as good as I can. I'm working as hard as I can. And number two, I think, because we all want to be God. We all want to be in charge. We all want to be the ones that make all the decisions. It's hard to admit, but that's true. I mean, we're born into sin. We're born wanting to dictate. And if you don't believe me, ask somebody who has little kids. All right? Because they're born wanting to dictate. I want it this way. Right? That's why we need to train them, right? And folks, we need also to be trained. But these folks wanted that. He said, if you have a different attitude, not the mature mindset he's talking about, something different than what Paul has explained already. A self-righteous attitude. But look what he does. Look what he does at the end of verse 15. He says, God will reveal that also to you. He doesn't say, you big knotheads, What is wrong with you? All right? How come you have this attitude? This is completely wrong. You need to No, he says, God will reveal it. Did you notice that? And it goes back to chapter 1, verse 5 or 6. I think chapter 1, 6. Okay, I got to read it. I'll say it wrong. For I am confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it. And guess what the word perfect means? Mature it. He will mature it until the day of Jesus Christ. So Paul is so confident in God that God will work through them that he doesn't overwhelm them. He gives them over to God because his confidence is in God. Folks, the thing that got me is, when are we really going to learn that we're not in charge? Because I think this is a great example of Paul saying, you know what? I know it's not up to me. Your growth is not, it's up to God. And God's going to make it clear. We pray for people. Oftentimes we pray for people to get out of trouble, right? When God may be using that trouble to draw them to him. And that's why I believe Scripture says we don't know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how to pray as we ought. But what our prayers need to be is how Jesus prayed. Because how did Jesus pray in the garden? He said, Lord, if possible, take this cup from me, but not my will, but thine be done. That needs to be our prayers. Yes, we pray for healing. We pray for financial situation. We pray for marriage issues. We pray for, and in our mind, in our thoughts, in our focus, if they can get well, that'd be great. If they can get the money they need, that's great. If their marriage is solidified, that's fabulous. I mean, all these would be wonderful things. And yet, God may be allowing them to go through whatever those things are to draw them to him. So I don't understand completely how to pray, but I know that in my prayer, if God wills, that's what I want. That's what we should want. Why? Because ultimately, we're not in charge. God is. So what looks great to us may not be what looks great to God. Because man looks at what? Outward appearance. God looks at the heart. Right? And he is more concerned with hearts, the hearts of men. God is really in charge, and he loves people more than we do. It says God will reveal that. To reveal means to disclose or to make fully known. And that's where our prayer needs to be to whatever God wills. Paul is almost being sarcastic here. It's amazing. But he's being gentle. He's being very gentle with them. Look what it says in 16. However, let us keep living by that same standard by which we have obtained. However, let us keep living. And that word keep living, there's two aspects to it. It's a military term and it's a sporting term. Remember, Paul liked sports. And he used those terms a lot. But it's a military term. It means follow in line, to follow in order, to hold to or confirm. Let us keep living. What line are we talking about? It's what they already learned. It's what he has already taught. And the sporting term would have meant to stay in your lane. Stay on your path. He says, let us keep doing that. So even if there's aspects you don't understand, even if there's parts of this humble mindset that you don't grasp, that you don't catch, keep on living with what you've been given, with the truth that you've been given. Scripture, the scriptural truth, the truth of the word. Remember, scripture says what? Narrow is the road and narrow is the gate that leads to life. And there's few that find it. So it's not self-dependence, it's not self-righteousness, not looking back, it's dependence upon God. So even if they don't understand, he says, even if you haven't caught this whole mindset completely, keep going forth. Keep going forth. We're on that same path. The same as we have attained. The word attain means to arrive at, to reach, or to come to be. Because these people were overtaken by God, remember? We talked about they were grabbed and pulled on and owned by God for a purpose. Now, they want to grab and pull down and own that purpose and live it out. And that's what Paul wants them to do. He's saying, even if you don't understand it all, just keep living out Christ. And did you notice he uses a collective we there? However, let us keep living out that same standard to which we have attained. To which we have attained. That same thing. So it's Paul's life. And then he goes on and gives the example of his life. This is what I wanted to... It's actually a start of a new thought, but I want to bring it into this. And we'll get to the rest of it next week. But here in verse 17, we're looking at Paul's example laid out. In verse 17, he says, brethren. And this is the third time in this chapter he says, brethren. He wants them to know he's not angry with them. He's not chewing. That's a very endearing term. You look in Galatians, and he says, what is wrong with you? He says, I cannot believe you are doing this. All right, so he's really upset. Here he is very gentle in his rebuke, very gentle in his admonitions. But he says in verse 17, brethren, join in following my example. It's a really neat word. Join in. It's summimetes. Summimetes. Sum means together, together with, and mimetes means imitate. Or we get our word mimic from it. To mimic. To do the same thing. All right, so to imitate, he says, be fellow imitators. Be fellow imitators. Look what he says. Brethren, join in following my example. Be fellow imitators with my example. Join in following me. Paul here puts his life out as one to be followed. Now, he just said a few verses ago that he wasn't living out perfectly. He just said that he had room to grow. He hadn't attained Christ-likeness yet, full Christ-likeness yet. There was still room to grow. But he's still willing to put his life out in the open. He's still willing to open it up for others to see and to imitate. And look what he says. Not only follow my example, but observe, and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. The word observe is the word skopeo. We got our word scope. Scope it out. Right, to scope it out, to really look at something. Watch closely or observe carefully so that you learn something. He's talking about those leaders that they had, those elders, those who were around them that were living out the truth, the same pattern, the same mode, the same model, the same example in us. Now, he's already talked about his example, and he's talked about Timothy and Epaphroditus. But think about this for a minute, because this is gutsy. This is bold on Paul's part. Because he's the same thing you'd say, oh, that's pride. But Paul didn't see himself in a proud way. He said, look, I was the chief of all sinners. He says, I'm the least of all apostles. And yet he says, join with me, follow my example, observe those who live according to the way I'm living. In the same type life. It's not out of pride. It's a mindset of humility. So the question is, would we say that to others? Would we say that to others? Hey, live as I live. Follow my example. Why wouldn't we say that? Because I haven't heard that a lot. Why wouldn't we say that? Mostly because I don't want anyone watching me. I don't want anyone coming and watching me. Why not? Because I do silly things. Because I don't trust God completely like I should. Because I ain't not that perfect model. Well, you know what? Paul already said that. He said, not that I've attained it, not that I've already become perfect, but I'm still growing in Christ-like. But he says, follow my example. That's pretty bold. If we look at it and we say, yeah, I don't want anybody looking that closely at me. I'm not perfect. But Paul said that he still needed to grow, and it was okay to look at his example. You know, one thing I think that might help is to understand where Paul was coming from with this. And I know we've I preached through Romans, and I love the book of Romans. Remember, Romans was written by Paul, and Paul explains out his passion and his heart, where he came from, what's going on. Remember, the first three chapters in Romans were what? We're all sinful. Doesn't matter whether you're not religious at all, doesn't matter whether you're the most religious Jew there is. We're all sinful. All have sinned, come short of the glory of God. You get to chapter 4 and he says, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe. In chapter 5, receive lambano. Take it, grasp it, receive that gift of righteousness. And then chapter 6, we see that we're dead to sin, we're alive to Christ. How can we just keep living in sin? You get to chapter 7, and there's the aspect of Paul's heart in this. Because Paul says, look, I keep doing what I don't want to do. I don't do what I do want to do. Who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with my flesh, I'm serving sin. With my mind, I'm serving God. And then he says in chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So this is how Paul came to this thought process. This is how he came to this attitude. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We get to chapter 8, verse 28. He says, all things work together for good. To the ones who are called, the ones who are called according to his purpose, who are justified. And he says to become conformed to the image of his son. That's the point of it. That's growing in Christ. So it's the whole growth aspect. We get to chapters 9 through 12 or 11, and he's talking about the growth in Israel. He's talking about his love for his nation. But he gets to chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. But don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind, so that you can know what God's will is. All right, so there's the whole process Paul is talking about. There's the thinking process. He says, have this attitude. Start with not knowing God. End with, I need to grow in God. I can grow in him. And through that whole process, that was his passion. That was his mindset. That's what he wanted to share with others. So this was Paul's heart here. And he says, look, I know in chapter 7, Romans 7, he says, I know. You have issues growing just like I do. I mean, I'm doing what I don't want to do. I don't do what I do want to do. I'm still stuck here. But you know what? He says, you can follow my example. He sets himself up in a glass house. He says, you can follow my example. We need to catch Paul's attitude here, his mindset, his maturity, his passion for maturity. He's looking to grow, learn, even in suffering. We looked at that a couple weeks back. Even in the aspect of suffering, Christ's likeness was his goal, to live out the truth so others might see his good works. And Scripture says, why don't we do good work? We're created for it, so others might see our good works and glorify our Father. We are to be working for him, yes, but not to gain salvation and not to gain perfection here, but to grow in our maturity in Christ, to grow up in him so that others can see Christ in us. And without the first aspect of this, again, is salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you cannot grow up in him because you don't have that foundation. I would implore you, if you've never trusted Christ to be your Lord, your Savior, you can't say, look at my example. Why? Because you don't have him as your Savior. Trust in him today. It's a free gift. It's salvation. It's what Paul's joy was to share on the whole aspect of Romans. And then at the beginning of Romans, it says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. So there's the gospel. There's the truth, the good news, the power of God. So accept him today, please. I'd love to show you from God's word how you can have a relationship with him. If you do know him, depend upon him. If you need to grow, guess what? He's going to help you grow. If you don't recognize this mindset of humility, he'll show it to you. If, like Paul said, if you haven't grown or matured, he'll help you to grow and mature. He will do it. I can't make you grow. God does. I can't change. You know how bad I want to change things sometimes? We want to change certain things in our kids. We want to change, never in us. We want to change certain things in our spouses or what, never. We want to change things about our parents. We want to change, we want to fix it, right? According to what we think. But what we need to recognize is that God's in charge. That we can trust in Him. And not only that, but if we need to grow, He'll help us. You know, Paul had a thorn in the flesh, didn't he? Paul himself, Christ told him that he would have to suffer. So that he would fail? No, so that he would grow. That was the only way to get Paul to grow. Do you realize that? The only way for Paul to grow is how God did it. Through that thorn in the flesh, which was probably an eye disease or whatever. Through sufferings. God told him he would have to do that. And Paul trusted God in the midst of it. We were talking in Sunday school about Joseph, who trusted God in the midst of what he went through. There's a trust in God. And they can come back and say, look at my life. Follow my example. It was his only way to grow. We need to rest in him. But let me ask the question. If we wouldn't go up and say, follow my example. Why not? Is there something we would say, because there's something that I need to change. You can't change it. You realize that? You can't change it. God can. That's why we rest in Him. That's why we depend on Him. That's why we trust in Him. You don't have power to live godly in this world. God has power to work through you to live godly. To show others Jesus Christ so that you can confidently say, follow my example. Man, that's hard. That's so hard. We look at it, you're just proud. No. And like Paul, I'm the least of all apostles. But you can follow my example. You can follow this pattern of a humble mindset. Catch this passion. Rest in Him. Depend upon Him. And simply live according to what you know. Back in verse 16. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. Live it out, even if you don't understand it. Live out the truth of God's word, even if you can't fully put it together. Live it out and let Him work through you. Depend upon Him. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much that we can depend upon you. It's so amazing, Lord, how you have worked through Paul, a guy who was a rascal. Lord, he was so headstrong on how to please you that he didn't know he was going completely against the truth. But when you showed him that, he flipped completely around, lived out his life, humility, made tons of mistakes. Father, he even had to apologize to the high priest because of his outburst. But Lord, he did it. He did so because he understood that he wasn't living according to his power, but by yours. And he understood that in a way in which he could say, follow my example. Just follow this example of this mindset. And it's not a perfect example. But you can follow it. Father God, may we catch this. May we catch this life lived for you. May we be able to say, follow this example. This is what works. Live for Christ. Grow in Christ-likeness and keep growing. Father God, help us to catch that. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you take